Do your thing. Very good, very good, very good. I'm glad I don't have one of those one-minute countdown things on me. I like them, though. In fact, I think it might have been my idea. But I just like it. It creates that sort of energy and excitement, doesn't it? How good's that? Love God, love people, live His purpose. Really, really simple. Hey, we've got some stuff happening today because it's Vision Sunday. We have available for the first time, we've actually got City Life journals. How good is that? So we have City Life journals. And in here you will find there's enough days in there for a full year of your devotional time. It's not dated, so you can actually start now and go through to January. So if you get one today, which is what you should do, you grab one today and you can start tomorrow. It's the 1st of February, isn't it? You can start tomorrow on the 1st of February, and then you'll finish in January 2011, and that'll be there for you. So every day there's a page there that you can write your bits and pieces in, your reading and so on. And then each month begins with something of our mission, something of what we're about, and references from the Word of God. Isn't that cool? So that's City Life Journal. If you don't have a journal, if you need a new one, if you're going to need a new one, grab one of those. $5. $5 for a City Life Journal. That's awesome. Where are they going to be found? Over there. Brian's got those over near the hosts and so on. Also within there, now we're giving these out right now. Go for Your Life. We have bookmarks so that you can read the Bible through in a year. 365 is the name of our journal and of our bookmarks, which is 365 days of devotion. And you can follow that through and you can get through the whole Bible and sort it right out. You might have to catch up on January, or you can save that till next year. You've got it. You've worked it out. We're going to give out one of these each quarter. So the one you're getting now is this blue one, January, February, March. And the next three quarters, you will get the next three of those. Aren't they pretty colors? So there you go. April, July, and October. We'll be giving those out through the year so that you can connect with God. As you know, connecting with God is really central to everything that we're about. I mean, if you're not connecting with God, then the rest of it is really religious trappings. And so we want to make sure that every person is connecting with God every day. When I go out on the streets and we do the door knocking and say good day to people and give them opportunity to learn about God, then the essence of what we're doing is giving people an opportunity to connect with God. We're not so interested. We'd love them to come to church. That would be fantastic. But the essence of everything we're about is that people connect with God. I think it's a travesty that we live in a country where 70 to 80% of people believe in God and almost nobody has a connection with Him because of the loving relationship that He has for every person, and yet they don't know. And you can go out and you can talk with people on the streets or in your workplaces, and you can find them and they believe in God, but you know that there is no connection with their loving Heavenly Father. I think that is a tragedy, and that's what we as a church are about changing. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Come on, we got to get on board with this one. So, let's go. Vision Sunday for 2010. We got two-part vision today that I want to share with you what we're going to be about, what we're always about, but what we're really focusing on for this year. Our vision has got two parts to it, people and property. Oh, we'll leave the property one till later because that's frightening. But anyway, people and property. And what I like is that people always comes first. And, you know, to be honest with you, whatever happens property-wise, I was going to say something I shouldn't say, but whatever happens property-wise, if we get the people thing right, then God's going to be happy. Amen? I believe He's challenged. I believe He's got a call and a challenge on us for some facility stuff, which I'll share with you in a minute. And it's quite large and it's going to blow our minds a little bit, but that's okay. But can I say to you, the most important thing today is that we get the people vision. That we get the people vision. If we get the people vision and we don't quite get the bricks and mortar vision, then I'm happy with that. Because let's get the people vision. Let's get that thing right. And then we'll move on to the rest, because the other thing needs to serve that. The thing that God put on my heart today is that as a people vision, is that we are disciples of Christ. Disciples of Christ. And that will lead us to a whole bunch of other stuff. But at the core of the issue for us as a church, and I believe for all churches, is that we are disciples of Christ. How many understand that before believers were ever called Christians, they were first called disciples? Jesus did not say, go into all the world and make Christians. He didn't say that. He said, go into all the world and make what? Disciples. I believe there's something really important about that, because we need to understand what a disciple is, because you can call yourself a Christian, you can have the Christian tag, without being a disciple of Christ. And what we're standing for and what we're about is that people are disciples of Christ. That you and I, that we are first and foremost a disciple of Christ. Let's have a look at what that means for us. Every one of us are a disciple of Christ. We can be disciples of religion rather than disciples of Christ. In Matthew 23, verse 13 and 15, I'm not going to go into it. There's a little translation issue about verse 14, but ask me about it later if you're interested. Verse 13 and 15. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Jesus was so down on the religious leaders of his day, because he said, you're not entering the kingdom of God. You are not disciples of God, and you're stopping everybody else from being so as well. He wasn't very happy. Verse 15, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. There's a good way to speak to the leaders of the church, isn't it? You travel over land and sea, and you make a convert, but then they become twice the son of hell that you are. What he's talking about is people who look to get someone trapped into a religious program that does not have a relationship with God. That's what he's talking about. That's what ticked him off so much. That's why he was so against what they were doing, because they said, you've got this religious program. You show up at church and you teach this and you teach that, and you even have good works in the community, but you don't have at your core a love for God and a relationship with him. Can I say to you, do not fall into the trap of having a Christian outward facade, of having a name of a Christian without being a disciple of Christ. You will gain a whole lot of religious stuff and lose the essence of what it's about. Jesus was so strong on it. What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? A disciple simply means a learner or a student. It comes from the Latin, and I'll get it right, discipulus, a pupil. You know, but it means so much more than that when you bring it into the Christian world. In the Old Testament, they actually called them the sons of the prophets. There were these people who would devote themselves to hearing the voice of God and declaring it to a generation. And they were called the sons of the prophets. And they would align themselves. In the Greek thinking, it was all about philosophers. And they would align themselves, become a disciple of Socrates or Plato and so on. They would align themselves with that person. But in the kingdom of God, they were the sons of the prophets. And you can read about them in Kings. And they would align themselves with the man of God who was hearing the voice of God. And they would say, we want to get alongside you and serve you and build with you so that our nation can hear the voice of God. I don't know how many people want to be part of the sons of the prophets, because that's what they were in the Old Testament, the sons of the prophets, who said, I want to hear from God and declare it to my generation. That translated into the New Testament, where they became disciples. In Matthew 16 and verse 24, Jesus defined what it would mean to be a disciple of Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, those who were learning from him, he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? We've got people right across our community who are gaining the whole world and forfeiting their soul. We've got people right across even churches who are gaining the whole world. They're going ahead in business and in family and in finance and who knows what, but they're forfeiting their soul. And Jesus said, if you're not prepared to deny yourself, lay it all down and get after me with all you've got, then you're not going to be a disciple of Christ. You might have a Christian tag, you might be a City Life person even, but you're not a disciple of Christ unless you have resolved those questions. Have you resolved the question? Have you resolved the question of who is in charge of your life? Is Jesus absolute authority over your life? I think about the other day, I was thinking about some of the songs that we sing and how foreign they would be to someone who hasn't recognized the love of God, who's someone who doesn't know the forgiveness of God, someone who doesn't know what Jesus has done for them, someone who doesn't realize that Jesus has given his life, given everything, took all my sin upon himself, gave his life for me, done it all. They come into a church and we sing about the glory of God. We sing about our love for Jesus. And they must be sitting there going, what the heck is this all about? Because they have no understanding of the incredible, grateful heart that we have for the love of God that we find in Jesus. That we have become disciples of Christ. We have resolved the question, I am no longer living for myself. I have given up my own ideas about life and now I live for God. That's all I live. I live for Jesus. I live to make his name known. I live to extend his kingdom. I live to bring him glory. That's what I live for. I might have to work for a living, but I live to make the kingdom of God known in the earth. That's what I live for. Every part of me burns for that. I think about our missionaries. We're going to have our mission week in a few weeks' time. Tony and Ed Higgs are going to be with us for the second weekend of that, which is pretty cool. I think about those that have, and we look at them and we say, oh, they've given up everything to go and serve God in a foreign field amongst people who have no idea about the things of God. No churches, no Christians, nothing. And they're going to declare the things of God. And God just dropped into my heart that we need to live in exactly the same burden for the lost that they are living and exampling in their lives. I need to live exactly that way. That when I work hard and I bring glory and honor to God. And if I'm making money, I make as much money as I can so that I can give it for the work of God and release his kingdom. I tell you what, in the same way that they live amongst the Muslims of southern Thailand without fellowship, isolated from those who love God and living their lives in sacrifice and service of God, so too should I. And I believe so too should you. That we are disciples of Christ. Not some willy-washy tagged Christian, stamped on there, there's a Christian, and walking around, I'm a Christian. Not that. Good night. Disciples of Christ. Those who say, I will take up my cross every day. If there's a situation that I need to give up, then I'll give it up. If there's a sacrifice I need to make, then I'll make it. Why? Because I've already taken up my cross. It's already on my shoulder. I've already made the decision. And where he goes, I go. It's as simple as that. What is our vision? Our vision hasn't changed at all. That we are disciples of Christ. We are here to make Jesus known and to bring him all glory and all honor and all praise. That's what we live for. And every moment of every day, that's what we live for. When we go to work, that's what we live for. When we're at home, that's what we live for. When I rise in the morning and walk and pray, that's what I live for. When I go surfing, that's what I live for. When I go and play sports, that's what I live for. Because every moment I live for that one purpose. Every moment my eyes are open to what the purpose of God is. What is his purpose in this situation? I can enjoy life and I can have a great time and I can enjoy people and relationships and all the best things in life. And while I'm enjoying all those things, every moment I'm thinking, what's God's purpose? Is that how we're living? That's my vision for you this year and for me, that we are disciples of Christ, that all the dross is just burned away, that all the muck that we fill our lives with is done away with, and that we are disciples of Christ. That if we go to our cell group meeting with a group of men or a group of women or young people and we come there and we've read the word, we've done our journal or whatever we do and however we work it, we've heard from God and we come together and we say, this is what God is saying to me. This is the thing I'm setting my agenda for. This is how I'm serving God. Why? Because I'm a disciple of Christ and I choose every day that I'm going to serve the Lord. That's what Jesus said. He said, if you don't deny yourself and take up your cross, then you're not a follower of mine. You might have the Christian tag. Didn't even have a Christian tag at that point. But you might have the Christian tag, but you're not a follower of mine. You're not a disciple of mine. I want to be a disciple of Christ. I want to be a disciple of Christ. I want to become more like him. I want to be doing more of what he said to do. I want to be fulfilling his call, his kingdom, that's what I want to do with my life. And I tell you, I want a whole bunch of people to come with me in that and to say, we want to be disciples of Christ. That's what we live for. That's what we're about. We are disciples of Christ. We love God, we love people, and we're living for his purpose, not our own. Deny yourself. Oh, man alive, there's so often that ourselves rises up and it just gets so demanding upon us, doesn't it? Where we just start wanting to do what we want to do. We start living for our own pleasures. We start living for our own goals and ambitions, and we forget that we have been called for God's purpose. If you're in business, you're in business for the purpose of God. If you're in a workplace, you're in a workplace for the purpose of God. If you're in a family, if you're a homemaker, then you're in that home for the purpose of God. Amen?
Yeah.
If you're in school or uni or college, you're there for the purpose of God.
Yeah.
You'll get an education. I hope you get the best education that you can get. I hope that you perform to the utmost of your ability, because when you do so, you glorify God. But I tell you what, in the midst of that, you are there for one purpose. That's to bring honor to his name and extend his kingdom, to be a disciple of Christ. A disciple of Christ. You can tell the difference between someone who's called a Christian and someone who's a disciple of Christ. Unfortunately, sometimes there's a big difference. Those who show up and attend church and do nothing else, call themselves Christians and bring a bad name to the name of Christ. And there are those who have submitted their lives to the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is two different things altogether. Amen?
Yeah.
Isn't God good? How good is it to be part of a church where that's what we want? That's all we want. We want to be disciples of Christ. That's what we're about. We want to see his kingdom extended everywhere in the world and right here in our own community. That's what we want. And we are more than happy. In fact, we are enthusiastic and keen to partner with those who have the same heart and the same mind. That's what we're about. Disciples of Christ. I've got notes here. I should get back to them. Paul said to the Macedonians, they did not, this is 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5, they did not do as we expected. He was expecting that they would follow his leadership. He was expecting that they would follow him and do what they were told to do. That was his expectation, that they wouldn't have reached a point of maturity where they'd do anything else, but they would actually just do what they were told, which is a good thing to do. Turn to the person next to you and say, do what you're told. It's always a good start. If you read the word, if you listen to godly people, then a good start is simply to do what you're told. And Paul was expecting that. He was expecting these Macedonians to do what they were told. He said, here's a need. I want us all to rise up and do something about it. And he thought, well, they'll just do what they're told and get involved. But he said, they didn't do what I expected. But they gave themselves what? First to the Lord. Do you know they gave themselves to the Lord, and then they did more than anybody else in doing what they were told? See, some people think that if I listen to God, then God will tell me something different than what the church is telling me, and I'll go and do whatever God tells me, and I'm better than everybody else. That is stupidity, okay? That's ignorance, that's immaturity, that's pathetic. When we see the scriptures, when they sought the Lord, they then did what they were told. They did what the church leaders told them to do. If you're seeking God and he's telling you something different than what your church is telling you, then you're not hearing from God properly. Can I make that clear? Is that clear enough?
Yeah, that's good.
You are not hearing from God properly. I'll just leave that one hanging. I was going to qualify that, but I don't think I'm going to. Just do what you're told. Unbelievable. They didn't do what we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Isn't that wonderful? It's such a wonderful hand in hand. We give ourselves first to God. I don't want you to give yourself to the church first. I want you to give yourself to Jesus first. Because I know that if you truly give yourself to Jesus, then you will be the biggest builder of the church that there'll ever be. You will be so committed heart and soul to the church that nobody could prize you off. They won't be able to move you with a stick of dynamite. They won't be able to shift you with any threat. Doesn't matter. If you are first committed to Jesus and then to his church, no one will be able to shift you. But if somehow you've got a commitment to church, a group of people, but you don't have that commitment to Christ, then they'll move you easily. They'll shift you easily with a threat or with a reward or with a punishment. They'll move you simply from people. But if you're first committed to the Lord, no one's going to shift you from the purpose of God. No one's going to shift you from serving the church. No one's going to stop us serving the church in China. They can't do it because we're first committed to Jesus and Jesus is there doing the work. Some people say, why do you do that? Why do you commit so much to the church to doing stuff all around the world? Why? Because Jesus told us to. Simple. We commit ourselves first to the Lord and then to His will. Simple. And we get on with it. Amen. The description of the disciples in Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Don't you love that? They devoted themselves. Over 30 years of Christian leadership, which is about that, I got started preaching when I was 16 and I'm 47 this year. So I got more than 30 years of Christian leadership under my belt. It's done. 30 years of Christian leadership. You know what I've seen? That most people don't commit themselves. Many, I won't say most, I should, but I won't. Many people, some people, don't commit themselves. What they do is they wait for someone to reach them. I'm not talking about non-church, I'm talking about Christians. They're waiting for someone to please them, someone to put on a program that they'll feel attracted to, someone to put on the right thing, someone to tickle their ears in the right way so they'll feel good about coming to church. Many people, over my years of seeing this, that's how they live. But then there are those some who devote themselves. I tell you, those people are so important in the kingdom of God. Because, you know, offenses will come. And, you know, difficulties will come. Trials will come. And those that devote themselves, they're the ones who see it through. They're the ones who see it through. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the Word of God. They devoted themselves to fellowship in small groups so they have accountability. And you read the scriptures, it said they met in the temple and they met from house to house as they devoted themselves to the fellowship. I'm going to be absent from church for a few... I'm not really. This is an imagination. So let's say I might say to myself, I'm going to be absent from church for a couple of weeks. Let's see who will ring me up. I'm going to test them a little bit and see if someone will care that I'm not there. See, that person's immature. That's a baby. That's a baby saying to themselves, if a baby could say to themselves, that's a baby saying to themselves, I'm going to sit here and cry a bit and see if someone picks me up. And so we have some of these baby Christians who are like, you know, been Christians 20 years, but they're lying around at home, sitting on their lounge, watching the telly, and they're going, meh, 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 and waiting for someone to come and see if they'll draw. Ridiculous. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't reach out to those who are babies and crying. I'm not saying that. If they're babies crying, then, you know, wipe their bum and get them going. And you know, that's all right. We've got to do that. But I tell you what, that's not devoting themselves. That's not devoting themselves. We're about disciples of Christ. We're about those who devote themselves to the work of God. We're about those who are the answer, not the question. We're about those who are making a solution, not causing a problem. That's what we're about. Does that mean we can't have dramas? Of course we're going to have dramas. Of course we're going to need help and support and all that gear. Of course we need all of that. But it's not our focus. My focus is not what can I get. My focus is what can I do. What can I do to devote myself to what God's got for me? Amen? Yeah. Disciples of Christ. And what I get in the end of that is that a disciple of Christ becomes a disciple maker. And you know that that's the heartbeat of our church, that we are all called to be disciple makers. Every one of us. Jesus' commission was given to us so clearly. Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Go and make disciples, and I am with you. There is no greater time when God will be with you than when you're making disciples. When you're making disciples. You say, why is it that that Christian worker, why is it that that church leader, why is it that that evangelist, why is it that that missionary, why do they seem to have such a relationship with God? I'll tell you why. Because they're engaged in the process of making disciples. And Jesus says, you make disciples, I'll be with you. Now, he's with us all. I know he's with you in regardless of what we're doing. He'll come and meet us and stuff. But I tell you what, you engage with the work of God. You engage with the work of making disciples. He will be with you like you've never experienced before. How many people are getting Ash Boyle's updates? Those who aren't, you should get them. Ash Boyle is sending us to 3 months in Cambodia doing amazing work for God. Just serving and teaching, doing all kinds of stuff. And the thing I see about the emails, we're getting these updates regularly, the thing I see is that she is so close to God. God is close to her. They're seeing healings. There's words flowing. God's speaking into the situation. You say, why? What? How come? I'll tell you how come. Because they're engaged with the purpose of God. They're engaged in making disciples. And so Jesus says, I'll walk with you. Yeah. You want a closer walk with God? Get engaged with making disciples. Start thinking about other people around you rather than yourself. Come out with us onto the streets and start door knocking a few houses and see if you can find those people that God's working. It's not threatening, is it, Doug? It's easy. Come and work with our youth and get involved with some campus outreach or with some of the schools or whatever. And get out there proclaiming the word of God. Proclaiming, trying to find somebody to make a disciple. I tell you what, he'll walk with you. He'll walk with you. There's no favorites. He will walk with you. If you'll get yourself about the purpose of the kingdom of God. It's not a works thing. It's all by his grace. We don't deserve it. He just says, if you're going to be where I am, I'll be with you. Yeah. It's kind of like if I say I'm going to go to the movie. Anyone want to come? We went and saw Invictus the other night. Put out an email. Said, anyone want to come? And, you know, I was there. And whoever came was with me. It was that simple. Brian started it off. Brian said, I'll be there. And if you're where he is, then you're with him. That's a revelation, isn't it? If you're where somebody else is, then you're with them. I think it's really good. You know, Jesus is at work. You know that he's at work all around you. And if only you would get about his business, then you'd be with him. Think about it. The second thing, I've only got 5 minutes. The second thing I want us to get today, the first, and I told you the people thing is so much the important thing, but you know, the people thing is about being a disciple and a disciple maker. That's what it's about. And I'm going to ask you to make a commitment today to being a disciple of Christ. I'm going to ask you to open your heart and make a commitment today. Maybe you have been, maybe you haven't been, maybe your life is just a bit wishy-washy, but it's time to step up and to say, I'm going to be a disciple of Christ. I'm going to ask for that commitment in a minute. But the second thing is about facilities that serve the vision. Facilities that serve the vision. Can I give this to you really quick? We've got a vision. We want to grow. We want to multiply. We want to see ministries increasing. We want to serve God in our community. We want to do a whole range of things, and we're already doing it. There's people doing all kinds of stuff to serve God and to extend his kingdom, and there's so much more that people want to do. And we want to have facilities that will serve that vision. As I was praying about this during the week, God just simply said to me this simple thought. I just felt that God said to me, you have not yet taken your place in the city. I was interested in that because we've been here 17 years building the kingdom of God. I've lived in Wollongong now longer than I lived anywhere else in my life. And we have brought our family and we have committed ourselves and we have not had one church building. We've used about 6 different facilities and all kinds of stuff. And yet God said to me, you've not yet taken your place in the city. And I knew exactly what he meant. He was talking about that place that he's got prepared for us to facilitate the vision that he has. And what we have now, we have functional facilities, but it's not fulfilled. It's not yet fulfilled. And we need to move to a place where we are taking our place in the city. And I'll tell you, it's not physically here, but there is a place. And God's going to lead us and God's going to guide us, and we will take our place in the city. And it won't just be physical. It won't just be a physical building, but when we step into that physical building, we will actually step into our future. We will step from a place of pioneering and establishing to a place of being established and multiplying. Oh, I didn't think everybody would get that one, but some people are getting it, that we will take our place. And I know today that God wants to move on probably about a dozen or 15 hearts. For us to realize that we need to take our place in the city. And it'll resonate with you and it'll start to beat inside of you, and together we are going to do something great. Our goal, can I say what my goal is for this? My goal is that by the end of next year that we raise $500,000 to establish our place in the city. I've given us 2 years because I was too gutless to go for one. But I really feel 2 years, $500,000, that is quite an undertaking, isn't it? How many people have got a spare $100,000 floating around? Just a little wave. We'll get you afterwards. As I thought about this, I thought about every provision of God in the Scriptures, and I realized there are two things that are required for every provision of God in the Scriptures. There's boldness and there's blessing. That's it. Boldness and blessing. Let me give you one of those. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. I want you to take this away and think about it. We'll be talking about this, probably not a great deal in our Sunday morning services, but behind the scenes, in our house builders, we'll be talking about this stuff over the next few months. Because God's going to stir some stuff, and God's going to do some stuff that's going to be a bit out of the box. So let's see if we can just get a start on this one. 2 Kings chapter 4, the wife of a man from the company, that actually can be translated the sons of the prophets, that's one of those references. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." I won't go there. There's so much in that picture about those who are honestly serving God, but not yet breaking through into the blessing of God's provision. Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me what you have in your house." "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Some of you are saying, "I've got nothing." You'll have a think about that. Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled, put it on one side." Can you imagine the boldness of faith of this widow woman going around to all her friends? She's got a little jar of oil, and she's asking for jars from everybody. She ends up with, I don't know how many, who knows how many, hundreds of jars, big jars, small jars, all kinds of jars. But something has birthed in her spirit, and by faith, she goes out there and she gathers all the jars that she can possibly do. It speaks to me about how we need to act in faith on the Word of God, that God will prompt and God will lead, and that we need to step out with all we've got into what God has got for us. Some of us, God is going to speak into our hearts, and it's going to be a big thing, and it's going to be quite a frightening thing, and He's going to say, "You can do this," and you're going to have to step out and get a whole bunch of jars together, and you're going to have no oil, just a little bit, but you're going to have a lot of jars, because then we come to the next bit. She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." I bet she wanted another one right then. How many would think that if it's all pouring, if the blessing of God's pouring out, you're hoping you've got another jar? Anyway, ever think about that as well. But he replied, "There's not a jar left," and then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." That's an amazing story. Here's this widow woman who's going to lose her two sons, who are her future. She's going to lose them to a creditor. And God makes a provision out of a little jar of oil and a whole lot of boldness. And He pours His blessing and provides for the rest of their lives. A miracle of God's provision. I want us to open our hearts to that miracle. I want us to open our hearts to that miracle. I think some of us are struggling a bit more with that one than we are about the making of disciples. Suddenly, leading somebody else to Jesus is looking really easy compared to the jars. And that's okay. Because God wants to stir our hearts. God wants to stir us up in those two areas, that we be disciples of Christ and that we build facilities that will release His vision. Amen? Let's open our hearts today. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Father God, I know the real message today, the center and the heart of it, is that we be disciples of yours. I know that you're leading us in the area of facilities. I know that those things are important. But Lord, I know above anything else that being disciples of Jesus is what it's all about. That's what we're here for. Why don't we stand to our feet for a moment? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Clinton already identified that scripture out of Joshua as, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It was an Old Testament response of discipleship. It was the same call that Jesus made when he said, "Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me." Joshua was making that call in the Old Testament. Hundreds of years before Jesus came, he was making that call and saying, "I'm going to live for him." I don't know where everybody's at today. I don't know exactly where, but I'm going to give you an opportunity. And it doesn't matter whether you've not followed God at all or whether you've just been a bit weak and wobbly in your faith. But today I'm going to pray a prayer that's very simple and just says, "God, I'm committed to being a disciple of Jesus and to do whatever it takes to fulfill the call that you put upon us as a church and as individuals." That's the prayer. Really simple. If you're prepared to do that today, I want you to open your heart. You can begin to raise your hands if you're ready to make that dedication to God. If that's where you're at and you want to do it and you want to say, "Jesus, today I put a line in the sand and I am committed to being a disciple of yours, fulfilling all that you call me to and our church. That's what I'm here for." Then you open your heart to the Lord today. Whether it's for the first time or whether it's just that you've been a bit wobbly or whether you just need to declare it from an open heart, then you do it today. It's Vision Sunday 2010. We've got before us the challenge and the incredible opportunity to make disciples, to build for His glory. That's what we're about. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you pray with me? Father God, I commit myself today to be a disciple of Jesus. I will deny myself. I will take up my cross. And I will serve your purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we just wait upon you for a moment, I pray that you seal to our hearts what we're doing today. And Lord, I want to pray today for people who are really struggling with their own walk with you, people who are struggling with questions and uncertainties, that you would help us today to rise above those things and to take you at face value and to simply trust you and to commit ourselves and say, "Yes, I'm in. I'm in. I'm not looking back. I'm not looking for a way out. I'm in. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to honor you. And come what may, I'm committed to your purpose." I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. These guys are going to come. We're going to finish with a song. And we have the City Life journals available at the back there. Grab one of those. I think they're going to do a deal. You can pre-order the discipleship thing or something. And $10 and that. I don't know how it works, but just $5 for a journal. Grab one of those. But most importantly, connect with God. Just connect with God. Wherever you're going to do it, do it. Get on with it. Amen. God bless. Have a great day.